ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय विगार्जितं धर्मा शीलैर्धर्मवाच्या उपावयम् कथं नो माद्विधो प्रत्याक्ष्यस्यति तत् शिष्या सा एव स्वर्था उच्यते. श्रीविश्वरूप उवाच विगारितं धर्मशीले ब्रह्मवर्च उपाव्ययम् कथं नु माद्विधो नाथ लोकेशैराभियाचितम् प्रत्ययस्यति तच्छिष्या स एव सार्त उच्यते. श्री विश्वरूप उवाच. श्री विश्वरूप से विगारहितं कंडेम धर्मशीलाय बाय पर्सन्स रिस्पेक्टफुल टू द रिलीजियस प्रिंसिपल्स ब्रह्मवाच्या अ ब्रह्मिनिकल स्ट्रेंथ और पावर Upavyayam causes loss. Katam, how? Nu, indeed. Madvidha, a person like me. Natha, O Lords. Loka Ishai, by the ruling powers of different planets. Abhiyachitam, request. Pratyayasyati, will refuse. Tachishyaha, who is on the level of their disciple. Sa, that. Eva, indeed. Svaartha, real interest. Uchyate is described as. Sri Vishwarup said, O demigods, although the acceptance of priesthood is decried as causing the loss of previously acquired brahminical power, how can someone like me refuse to accept your personal request? You are all exalted commanders of the entire universe. I am your disciple and thus take many lessons from you. Therefore, I cannot refuse you. I must agree for my own benefit. Purport. The professions of a qualified brahmana are patana, patana, yajana, yajana, dana, and pratigraha. The words yajana, yajana mean that a brahman becomes the priest of the populace for the sake of their elevation. One who accepts the post of spiritual master neutralizes the sinful reactions of the yajama, the one on whose behalf he performs yajna. Thus the results of the pious activities previously performed by the priest or spiritual master are diminished. Therefore priesthood is not accepted by learned brahmanas. Nevertheless, the greatly learned brahmana, Vishwarup, became the priest of the demigods because of his profound respect for them. So the brahmanas as their offering to society, one of the aspects is that they perform sacrifices or yajna on others' behalf. And in doing so, then they neutralize the sinful reactions of those who they do the activities for. So this is a very interesting point. The brahmanas, because of their austerities and their performance of sadhana and devotional activities, then they accrue many, many potencies, many pious activities. So this they have a lot of. And then because they have a lot of that, then that is used for others, for giving others benefit that is given to them. So in this case, we're talking about the sacrifice. So by performing the sacrifice, then their own credits are burnt up, neutralizing the bad credits of the person that they do it for. It's just like you have something acid and something alkaline. If you mix them, it'll become neutralized. So then the pious activities of the Brahman, they neutralize the impious activities of others. So we see this is how the whole culture is functioning. The Kshatriyas, they are having an excess of power and influence. It goes beyond their own, you know, personal family and own life. But they can influence the whole kingdom. So they use this power of influence for the people, for benefiting the people. They help the people. They take tax from the people. And this way they are also taking their impious credits. So that tax they take, then to that degree they take the impious credits. And the Vaishyas, then they make money. They always make more than what they need if they're, you know, a good Vaishya. So then that excess money, that is given for everyone else's benefit. And this way then everybody, the economics of the whole society develops because of their excess of money. And the artisans, they have an excess of talent. So this talent then is used for others. They only have enough for themselves, then they're just happy doing something themselves. They're walking down the you know, path and, you know, thinking of something or, you know, singing to themselves. They have an excess of that, then they can sing for others and benefit others. So like this, everybody has an excess of talent if they are properly situated. So then they use this for the benefit of the rest of the community. So here, for the brahmanas, then their excess is in pious activities due to their austerities. So then they perform these austerities, and then they use those credits for other people. This is their purpose. So we see here, Prabhupada very clearly says, the spiritual master and the priest, their pious activities, the results of them are decreased from before. So this is a very important aspect to understand, just for social interaction, just normal, balanced social interaction. Because many times it is thought that this karma, it means, because for Westerners, the concept of karma is a very kind of unique thing, at least in modern age. It's accepted something is there, but it is a very new thing, very mystical. Right? Because we're so used to working on the very gross platform of the senses, sense objects, what we can see, feel, touch, taste. There's something like the mind, or the intelligence, or emotions, or results of pious activities. These are very strange, very subtle. You know, even in the modern society, the scientists, they can't grapple very well with the mind or the intelligence, because they can't see it. They can't experience it. They can experience it in its effects on other things. So they watch how somebody behaves and how that affects the material nature that they can see with their senses. Then they'll say, well, this is the mind. So they'll go through inference. They don't actually directly perceive because of the grossness. So then in this way, then something like karma is seen as some very special, unique, mystic thing. That therefore only someone, a nitya siddha, can neutralize karma. But karma is a material thing. and it is neutralized by material things. Then if you want to remove it completely, then you have to introduce change of the consciousness to spiritual. Right? So spiritual being a higher principle, it also neutrally removes the cause of the sin or pious activities. That someone due to material desire has so much interest in becoming more pious or more impious, or developing piety, getting rid of impiety. But this is all material. You perform an impious activity, it destroys pious activities. You perform pious activities, it destroys impious activities. Even just a normal, you know, materialistic, mundane karma does these things, and the benefits are there, pious and impious. So it's a very ordinary, normal thing in the course of Vedic culture, and which is very much seriously considered by the members of the Vedic culture, that they follow the proper activities so that they may be benefited. They won't end up in the sinful place, they'll end up with the pious credits. And the devotee knows that these things should be offered to Krishna. Then this becomes devotional service. So this whole difficulty that only, you know, Srila Prabhupada, previous acharyas, only they can remove karma, then is just an opinion that comes from not actually understanding the subject. Here, the priest, you are having a marriage ceremony, and the priest sits down and performs the ceremony. His pious credits neutralize the impious credits of the couple that get married. It's that simple. You ask anyone who does this priest work, and ask them if afterwards they feel really great, or do they sometimes feel sick, or tired, or, you know, the brain becomes dull. And then you can find out what's going on. It's just a very simple mechanical process that Krishna has arranged, right? Like you eat something, how it happens, we can't say. We are not doing it, that it transforms into energy in the body. No one is thinking, okay, it goes down there, now put in a little bit of this from the stomach, you know, from the pancreas and something from the liver, and then we'll make it move into the intestines, and then now the blood will take everything. We're not doing any of this. It's happening. It just happens. Right? It just happens. We don't have to think it. So in the same way, one performs these activities, it just happens. The sinful reactions of the person who is the yajaman, of who it's being performed for, is reduced. Those are reduced by being neutralized by the pious activities of the person performing the activity. Very simple thing. So karma is not the big thing anybody worries about. Right? Devotees are worried about devotional service. So it's a very side thing, so it's not a big element like that. You know, the reason that we surrender to Prabhupada is not because he only can remove our impious activities. No, we're not interested in removing that. That we just do a few yajnas, do some austerities, you can do that. We're interested in devotional credit, going back to Godhead. So that Srila Prabhupada can give us. Srila Prabhupada knows the science, how we can go back to Godhead, by changing our attention from material nature to spiritual nature. So that is why we approach him. Not for this mundane concept, oh, he'll remove my sinful reactions. This is very, very base. This is very Hindu, right? I do it because it's pious or impious. Krishna says in the Gita, one who doesn't worry about pious and impious, they are advanced in knowledge, right? But they, for themselves, they don't worry. Since they are doing their activities for Krishna, if there's an opportunity, okay, we'll do some activities because that's all there is in the world, is pious and impious. Will use the material pious activities for Krishna. Right? Material activities are two, pious and impious. So therefore, we will try to perform pious activities for Krishna. But even if we can't, if impious activities must be performed, we'll do those for Krishna also. Right? A Yudhishthira was asked to lie for Krishna. Right? So it's an impious, but he's doing it for Krishna. So the point is whatever the activity, we're taking those material activities and engaging in Krishna's service. That's what makes it spiritual. right? Here, we have some brass, right? Bought in Navadvip. We can, you know, from the store over there. And now, suddenly, it becomes spiritual. Why? Because we use it in the kirtan. Now, if I take the same kartals and we had do something else, sing some songs to the demigods, it's not spiritual. It's just brass. I sing for Krishna, it's spiritual. It's that simple. So all the activities in the material world, they fall into these two categories. So whatever we do, what's favorable for Krishna, we do that for Krishna. Therefore we don't care for pious and impious. It has to be favorable to Krishna. That's what we want. But we'll please Krishna. So, since Krishna has made all the rules, pious and impious, generally he prefers the activities in the mode of goodness. Because they're illuminating, they're elevating, they benefit us, they purify us. So by becoming pure, we have a tendency to be able to engage more the activities in someone else's service. Right? Like that. Like we see is that the Brahmana here, he performs all these nice credits, but for the benefit of others, he gives those credits away. So then, this is an understanding of the duty, and it is done for Krishna. So now, in the society, this is why it's so important, one, that everybody is protected, but especially the Brahmins, because then they benefit everybody in this way. Brahmins must be protected and given the time and space in which they can perform these pious activities, these devotional activities, so that they can benefit others by their teaching, by their priesthood, by their deity worship. These aspects must be done. If they're not given that, then how are they going to get much? So if you have a Brahmin who has very minimal pious credits, he can neutralize very few of your impious credits. It's that simple. You know, so if the Brahmins are out, you know, how do you say, getting their, you know, have their fingers in the dirt growing carrots, like some people recommend, then there's not a whole lot of pious credits they're going to be able to do when it comes to teaching. They can tell you about carrots, you know, quality of the dirt. But they won't be able to tell you about Bhagavatam. Right? And because they're not so expert at these things, they're only going to grow a few carrots. So maybe they'll get enough carrots to eat. Their fingers will have gotten dirty, so that will have pleased many people. But they won't be able to perform their own duties. Well, so they have to be protected in this way, that they are given that time and facility and peacefulness of mind to perform these activities. If mind's peaceful, you can perform austerities. Hiranyakashipu went to perform austerities, and Narad Muni came in the form of a bird to chant the Lord's name, and that made his mind unpeaceful, right? For the devotee, chanting the Lord's name makes them peaceful. But for the demons, chanting, hearing the chanting of the Lord's name makes them very unpeaceful. So without a peaceful mind, he could not perform his austerities, he left. He had to go back to, you know, his sense gratification. So that peacefulness must be there, that protection must be there, the facilities in which austerities, study, teaching, preaching, performance of yajnas and deity worship for others can be done. Then they benefit everybody. Right? If the king doesn't protect the businessman, that there's no thieves, and he just takes only just how much tax is necessary, doesn't overtax, then how is it that the businessman will be enthused and they'll be able to make so much money that then will be distributed amongst the whole rest of society? So if they're not protected, they can't perform their duty. The people don't respect the kings, give their tax, how the king can perform his duty. And if the artists aren't protected and taken care of, how they'll be able to excel in their arts? They can't, because that takes attention. Everything takes attention, right? Someone else is doing the business and doing the teaching and doing all the other things. The Kshatriya can fully concentrate on management, the businessman on business, the Brahmin on his activities, the artisan on his. Then everyone is fully engaged. And they are free to do their own activity. Then it works very, very nicely. So this is the social aspect here, general. Another aspect here is the etiquette or the culture, the shuru. So he's junior, but in the, how you say, in Vedic knowledge, you know, the knowledge of the Vedic mantras and rituals, and it's specifically philosophy, age is not a consideration. Age is a consideration in everything else, because by age you become expert. Right? You become expert in something. Management, the more you do it, the more expert. Business, art, the more you do it, the better you become. So age is a very important aspect of respect. But in philosophy and in the rituals, of course, also some aspect of age is there. But that is age between two people who perform ritual. Right? Between two Kshatriya Brahmanas, then the one who is a little more than, who is older than 3 years, then he is considered senior. Otherwise, they are like equals. But between here, the Shurup, and then so many of the demigods who are managers of the universe, since they're not engaged in doing the rituals, he's the senior. So then that's important. So now, his, oh yes, and because philosophy, we may speak to philosophy, no, but the realization is what's important. So depending upon the individual, realization may come at a very early age or at a very late age. So age is not the important thing because of realization. Practice, theory, you know, the art of application, the theory, that is, and you know, knowledge of the theology, that is gained by time. But realization is gained by one's commitment, by one's association, by one's determination, and by the blessing of the Lord. So therefore, the age is not the important element. But being humble, being a qualified Brahmin, then he is asked by the demigods who are his seniors. You know, he is their nephews. But he accepts because they have requested. So it is at his service to them that he is accepting it. So therefore, it's not... Therefore, one can accept a senior position in a humble mood. The person who is taking the senior position, they are in the mood of being in the junior position, but that's their service to the seniors. So even though it looks externally that Vishwarupa is the senior, in his mind, he's the junior. He is simply carrying out the desire of the demigods. They have requested him, so he's following their order. He is performing the yajnas for their benefit, and his own benefits will be lost in the process. So, in this way, then he is benefiting them. Though it will look like the demigods are coming, offering their obeisances to him, giving him dakshin, and doing so many things. But actually, what's going on is it's his service to them. And he knows the Brahminical rituals, and it's his service to do it for the others. So in this way, the Vaishnava always stays humble, no matter what the position. One is a big leader, manager, but he understands, this is my ability, I use it for Krishna's service to please the devotees. So my service to all the devotees is to organize things so that they can be properly, you know, have proper facilities and protection. Someone else is very expert in money, this is my service. Someone else is very expert in the art, this is their service. So in this way, everyone can maintain a humble mood. And then the whole society becomes very nice. Pride is there due to mundane consideration. Power is better than money. Right? Or money is better than art. Right? Like that. Or you have the Brahmin's knowledge is better than the influence, the power. But all these things are material. So they must be... They must, if they're engaged in Krishna service, they have some use. If they're not engaged in Krishna service, they have no use. Zero use. And in that case, we just sit down and chant Hare Krishna, and we're happy. We don't worry about anything else. That's all. But if we find it's advantageous to engage our conditioned nature in Krishna service, then we, according to all the various rules, we do. And in this way, we're happy, and then everyone's happy. And we see here this very, very nice exchange between the various personalities. Any questions on this?
Yes.
you don't, do you hear? The question is that Prabhupada's talking about you can't purify the pot contaminated by wine with wine. So how does the pious activities purify impious? It's purifying, meaning it's still on the material platform. Just like we say the demigods are deathless. We say that the demigods are amara, deathless. It's just when you're dealing within the mundane, you make all these statements. In the material world, eternity means just, you know, a long time. So like Lord Brahma's life is eternity. You know, deathless, the demigods, they live a long time compared to us. You know, hundreds or millions of years. So we call them deathless. Right? Like that. Just like a person. It fits the mentality. A person who's been in a very difficult situation or a very, you know, life-threatening situation or disease. And then when that's over, then they have a short time of feeling of just, you know, that they're, you know, go on, they can't be killed, they're deathless, all this. Just for a moment. So the same way, it's just the demigods like that. There's that feeling, you know. Or great, you know, great happiness. You know, some desires fulfilled, so we feel greatly happy. But it's not happiness. It's not deathless. It's not eternity, you know. So when it's compared to the spiritual, it's nothing. So within the material, it's all these things are said. So when we're saying it's the pious activity neutralizes the impious. It means the pious has a result it will give, a good result. The impious has a result, bad result it will give. So the pious result of the one neutralizes the impious of the other. So let's say someone was supposed to go to hell, then the pious activities may neutralize it. They don't have to go to hell. But, so in that way we say it's been purified. But purifying the heart from material desire for pious and impious, that is never done by pious or impious activities. That is only done by devotional activities. Therefore, it's a separate thing. You perform devotional activities, automatically the pious go and the impious go away. We want them both to go away. So it's a separate thing. It's just, the point is it's being brought out. Why I elaborated on it, is devotees have a tendency to make it into a very, who takes the karma? And they're only talking about the reaction. You know, I did this, and so I'm going to go to Kriti Bhojan. Who takes that? You know? So here, it's just the pious activities of the person who acts as the priest. Either spiritual master, the person who sits in the yajna, means that the person who performs the initiation yajna, you know, just the, you know, Joglo Brahmachari, the guy who made a devotee, you know, he takes it. You know? That's just the way it is. It's right here. Here's the scriptural evidence. So that's the point. We can accept it, or we can speculate. And the spiritual master takes it. So the Prabhupada in the last, earlier in this canto, in Ajamil, he mentions the meager, or I think meager, or even says it even more, the pittance, I think, of impious, sinful reactions of the whole universe. It's like a pit, nothing compared to devotional service. An ocean would blow it away in a moment. So it's nothing. So it's not a big deal. So devotees get so worried about something that has no real meaning. No real meaning. We're worried about getting rid of the desire seeds, which come by the process of siksha. Therefore, we talk about siksha, siksha sampradaya. Diksha is the small part. Diksha, we neutralize sinful reactions, you know, all these different things. So the conditioned nature is brought up, is purified, is brought to the mode of goodness. Then from the mode of goodness, it's easier to understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and thus become enlightened. Right? By performing activities in the mode of goodness, you purify impious activities. So therefore, it's said that we don't have to separately endeavor for good qualities. The soul automatically has good qualities. They're inherent in the soul. But they've been covered by impious activities. material desire. So if the devotee emphasizes on the process of anartha nivritti and tries to remove the impurities and doubts and misgivings from the heart, automatically the good qualities spring forth. Right? Material activities don't work like that. You have to remove the bad habits and then make the great endeavor to create the good habits. Then you have them. But with devotional service, you remove the bad, automatically the good just comes out, because that's what's supposed to be there. You have a gold ring. You don't have to separately endeavor to make it shine, create some shine in the ring. You simply have to remove the tarnish. The ring's already shiny. Gold's already brilliant. So the qualities of the soul are already brilliant. So therefore, anartha nivritti, we simply have to see that we are being humble, understanding we're servant of the Lord, we're tolerant, we tolerate the difficulties in the material world, adiyatmik, adibhautik, adidaivik klesh. We are trying to always be respectful to others and trying not to want respect for ourselves. We endeavor for these things and all these bad things go away. They just go. So when we make that endeavor, Krishna will take them away. We make a little endeavor, Krishna will take away a lot. And then these good qualities will come. So it's not a separate endeavor. So on that, therefore, the whole thing of the ritual side, that's a mechanical side. We just have to accept it as the scriptures say. We accept everything else. You know, we put food in through the mouth and we just accept it. Right? I mean, we can try. I mean, you know, how many here have actually tried? I mean, maybe it's a big propaganda. You know, it's all the propaganda by the dentists that they somehow or another have the most powerful lobby, and they've made the propaganda that you should put food in the mouth just so your teeth will rot so they have jobs. But factually, the best, most efficient way is to put the food up your nose. You know, but then the dentist will go out of the job. Like that. And then the, you know, ear, nose, and throat doctors, their lobby is not very great, you know, so you might have problems in your nose, get a cauliflower stuck up your nose or something. So then they, so their jobs are less. They make less money than the dentists. They're not as powerful. Now, how do we know? How many have tried? Right? How many here in the room have tried, you know, sticking your cheese subject up your nose? Try it. Maybe it goes in the ears. Best. Little kids, maybe they know what they're doing. They like to put it into the belly button. It worked before, and you know, why it shouldn't work now? You know, or smear it on the top of the head. It's like very popular. You know, the skin absorbs all the nutrients. You know? So like this, we just have to accept authority. So these things we should not become overly concerned about. We should be concerned about how to gain that knowledge that will remove all material concepts. And how? What is the process to practice that knowledge? What is the association in which we should practice that knowledge? Like this. That is what we're looking for. That is the real thing. So the instruction is the most important thing. That is, that therefore, when it comes to the brahminical activities, that's the most important. So instruction. The previous verses said that someone who knows the science of Krishna, they are the teacher. Kiva Vipra, Kiva Nyasi, Shudra Kene Noi, Jay, Say Krishna Tattva Vedi, no, Jay Krishna Tattva Vedi, Say Guru Hoy. They are the Guru. They know Krishna. Doesn't matter what is the material pious and pious position. They know Krishna, because that goes beyond everything. That gets us out of here. So that's very, very special. That's what we look for. Therefore, we put the emphasis on our sampradaya on the siksha. Diksha is there. We want to know the Diksha Pranali, it's there. You know, you follow it back through some Babaji's and this and that. But if that's, you know, jai, what's the big deal? Right? We don't, you know, it's there. Just like in the Bhagavatam, it gives the whole line from Brahma all the way down to the kings to the advent of Krishna. Right? It's giving that many kings. You know, you're going back 150 trillion years. It's going back. It's giving the whole thing. But do we care for the whole line? No, we talk about Prahlad, talk about Dhruva Maharaj, you know, Priyavrata, you know, a few major personalities, you know, who their whole line is, it's there. So you can say, yes, it's there. But what's important? The Bhagavatam gives the siksha that they offer. That siksha that was passed down from Krishna to Brahma to Narad to then Vyas and to Prahlad and to Dhruva and all these persons. That's what we're gaining. Right? That's what we're gaining. That's what we're looking for. And in this way, they're all in our line. They're all in our sampradaya. Right? Krishna spoke to Brahma. Brahma spoke to Narad. Narad spoke to Vyas. Right? Narad also spoke to Prahlad. Narad also spoke to Dhruva. Narad also spoke to Yudhishthira. So we hear what Narad has spoken through Vyas, who is also his disciple. So they're also in our parampara. So all these people, then they have heard from Narad, they're in our parampara. Right? Diksha-wise, they may or may not be, but siksha, they are. So siksha is a special thing. Prabhupada's special because of siksha. Not because of diksha. He's special because of siksha. Diksha is not the big deal. Siksha is the big deal. Right? That's important. Is that... What time is it now? Ten to eight. Anything else? Yes.
In the saying this relationship of karma of bringing in one another, it's going to start up in Riga,
yes. You have to be careful. That was highly politically correct.
So I like that because he did so much pious activity and he did so many service of giving the thousands of cows. Still, you have to go over and become a preacher. Of course, we can understand that the first time you go, that's one way. But at the same time, all this karma, you know, interact with one another.
Yeah. Point is depending upon the, so we can see here also the balance means something very great can overcome something less great. So therefore we see insulting a Brahmin is much greater than performing, you know, hundreds of thousands of Vedic sacrifices. Like that. The bottom line for a king is that he must respect the Brahmins and protect his citizens. If he does those two things, he is a good king. Even if he does nothing else. But then, he can add to that, then by doing sacrifices and all these pious things. So because here the Brahmin wasn't being protected. You know, he had cheated the Brahmin. Then, therefore, the reaction was so great. But then in this also, we see that the other pious activities were there. But then when Yamaraj asked him, because he was just a pious king, so he went to Yamaraj. And because he was pious, he went in a very nice way. And Yamaraj asked him, so you want the results of your pious activities, which are practically unlimited? Or you want this one impious activity, the reaction to that, which is for a very short time? So then he thought about it and says, well, let me get the problems out of the way and then I'll go for the enjoyment. You know? So then Prabhupada says, this is the mentality of the materialist. You know? It's okay, get all the problems out of the way, then I'll just enjoy unlimitedly. Like that. So then it wasn't that the pious wasn't there. But in the Lord's arrangement, then he got the blessings of the Lord. Because he had done so much, you know, he'd followed so nicely the rules and all that, very nicely. So he got blessed by the Lord that he's done so much piety, but now he should take up the real piety, which is devotional service. You know? He's done so much. But now he should understand what's the real thing. Because he was giving in charity. And giving in charity to Brahmanas. So that pleases the Lord very much. So he wasn't like Prachina Barhishat, who was killing the animals. So therefore, Nara comes and points out, you have a lot of impious reactions a lot of animals waiting for you. The piety is there, but what about all these animals? So therefore, from the negative side, he had to be brought around. But here, he's pleased the Brahmins so much that he hasn't understood devotional service. So then he's blessed by Krishna to come from the material top, material piety, into devotional. Okay. So I think we'll end here so we can go for the darshan. Gratulat Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Kani Taigonga Prenada.